Hey, welcome to another episode of Growth Minded. I'm Ed Hayes. Today, I'm going to be speaking on the implications of immediate gratification on our society. This is something that interests me as someone just growing up in their 20s in this world that we live in, where we're constantly stimulated and we have the ability to receive immediate gratification now more than any other time in history. Just look at your phone and there could be 100 reasons why you would receive all this, immediate gratification, whether it's texting or, Snapchat and your email, if you're on dating apps or things like that. These could all be reasons that tie into some of that immediate gratification, Instagram, you know what I mean? All these things that can basically help us find something in the short term, but may not be able to help us out so much in the long term. So to get your attention, the U.S. Department of Commerce, there's a study done by the Bureau of Economic Analysis, which cites that 57% of Americans have $1,000 or less in their savings account, while 39% of Americans have no savings whatsoever. So I found this, I heard that, I straightened up a little bit in my seat, because to me, if, 90% of Americans in our society have $1,000 or less in their bank account, that's a striking statistic that basically outlines some of the implications and the problems, with seeking out immediate gratification. So some of the points that I'm speaking on, some of the stats that I'm getting, I'll be citing Quiet by Susan Cain. It's a New York Times bestseller, as well as a TED Talk by John Davidson. So that's where I'm coming up with some of these statistics as well. So for some of the main points on this episode, I want to, ask, why did Wall Street crash? Why were some of these huge risks taken? How do our brains make us susceptible to poor decisions and poor risk taking? And then, finally, who we can learn from to be able to limit our poor decisions. So like I said, that first question was like, why did Wall Street crash? I'm referring to, two crashes. One would be like the subprime mortgage crash of 2008. And then another would be the dot-com crash that happened in the early 2000s. And I have a lot to learn on both subjects, and I'm always opening to more information, more data on both of those. But, even if we're not looking at Wall Street and we take like a practical example, like let's say you're gambling, let's say you're playing poker with friends and you lose a lot of money. Like, why did that happen? Well, huge gambles were taken, by you in that scenario. And then in terms of some of the Wall Street crashes, huge gambles were taken by investors. So digging a little deeper, why were these huge risks taken? Well, the reason is that people may be reward sensitive, which makes them susceptible to huge risks. And, obviously we can't live in a society without risk, or else, there'd be no, everyone would kind of live on their own. People wouldn't get married because they'd be too afraid to talk to someone. No one would dance. It would be, it wouldn't be a fun society to live in. But yeah, long story short, these huge risks and these, almost insane calculations, they may have been driven by reward sensitive individuals, again, who are more susceptible to taking some of these huge risks. So to dig a little bit deeper on that point, how do our brains make us more susceptible to risk? I'm no neuroscientist either, but there's a few different parts of your brain, one that is more reward sensitive and others that are more, regulatory, they kind of put you in check. So in her book, Quiet, Susan Cain argues that it may be a difference between introverts and extroverts. Extroverts tend to seek out rewards more often and amplify their positive emotions, making them a little bit more susceptible to risks. And it can have its benefits for making grand speeches or, you know, impressing someone and being able to potentially get on the dance floor and shake it up for them. But there's also a downside to being reward sensitive and chasing immediate gratification. As I mentioned on the start of this podcast, you know, the Department of Commerce mentioned that, you know, about 90% of Americans had $1,000 or less in their savings account. So it can have poor financial implications in terms of even public health. Yale did a study and they found that the demand for instant cures for like minor illnesses, for example, can be creating a resistance to antibiotics in years to come, which can make routine infections untreatable. So it could have a poor implication on your hygiene as well. And then your safety in terms of like texting and driving. Apparently there is 1.6 million cell phone related car crashes each year. So the implications that immediate gratification in our society cross over all different aspects in our life. So my last point is like, who can educate us on how our brains work and how we can limit our poor decisions? I'm sure neuroscientists and psychologists have a better understanding of, you know, how the brain works and how some individuals are better at processing dopamine, the reward-seeking chemical, than others. In Quiet, Cain argues that introverts process dopamine differently, and they're not as reward sensitive as extroverts. And a study of 64 traders at an investment bank found that the highest performing traders tended to be emotionally stable introverts. So delaying gratification is a crucial life skill associated with higher SAT scores, probably having more discipline and more focus to be able to get those scores and have a better result on your, you know, high school tests. A lower body mass index that probably ties into, again, having focus, having discipline to say no to a lot of the potential stimuli that you see in your life. And then finally, the study even showed that, you know, introverts have a higher persistence as well. So delaying gratification, that was a strategy that helped Warren Buffett and Berkshire Hathaway avoid the crash of the dot-com bubble. From what I've read, there's a lot of hype, there's a lot of buzz, and there's a lot of excitement during the 2000s. And Warren Buffett, you know, came out to say that he wasn't really on board with some of the newer, you know, flash in the pan companies that saw huge rise in success in a short period. So that helped him steer clear of the dot-com bubble. And then in terms of like the subprime mortgage crisis of 2008, I know there's at least two big companies, the Lehman Brothers and AIG. They reached out to make a deal with Warren Buffett. But, you know, potentially he's a good guy at delaying gratification and not immediately going all in on a deal that comes up. And honestly, he's probably a pretty good poker player too. So may have to learn a thing or two from Warren Buffett before I go down to Atlantic City next time. So basically I spoke on some of the implications of immediate gratification in our society, some of the risks and some of the implications that we're seeing is that because we're constantly stimulated, we have the ability to receive immediate gratification now more than, you know, any other time in our history, which can have some poor implications that covers like financials, maybe having less money in your bank account, you know, hygiene, maybe not being able to build resistance to illnesses. And then, you know, even safety as well, where, you know, people are getting in car accidents because they got to check their phone. There's a good TikTok and things like that. So it basically crosses all those boundaries in our lives. So to me, that kind of brings it full circle. Why did Wall Street crash? Why were huge risks taken? You know, how our brain makes us susceptible to risk. And, you know, hopefully we can learn from, you know, Warren Buffett, psychologists, neuroscientists, to be able to limit some of those huge risks that put us at a disadvantage for our long-term mindset and our long-term growth. So this is why Wall Street crashed, and this is why Warren Buffett prospered. Hope you liked tonight's episode of Growth Minded. Until next time.